Special word of thanks to Sherry Rainey, who provided a solo for us today. I told her at Stand and Greet, it's unusual for a pastor to meet somebody for the first time when they're doing a solo. But she was here last week and I was away, connected right away with the choir and did a beautiful job. So Sherry, thank you so much for being with us and for blessing us this morning. We are in the last week of putting it together, the last week of this series about the importance of building a good life. A life that is enriched by how we connect. So we've used this little symbol of the Legos all the way along, these little connecting bricks. We've looked at connections with our neighbors, with our friends, with our families. But we began 5 weeks ago with the most foundational connection of all, a connection with the loving, merciful, powerful God of the universe. And today, as we wrap up the series, we're going to come full circle back to that initial, essential connection. To do that, we have text from the Gospel according to Luke, from chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which of one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. May God add God's blessing to the reading and hearing and our understanding of this holy word. Two completely parallel stories, just exactly parallel from each other. Hebrew literature loves to do that. I think it's interesting that one features a male lead and one a female lead, both sort of placed in the character of the redeeming God. Both have lost something, and both go to extraordinary measures to seek out that which is lost. She lights a lamp, she sweeps the floor, she searches diligently. He leaves the others in the field and goes out into the wilderness. Both rejoice when that which is lost has been found, and both call upon the community to rejoice with them. I want to start with that second parable briefly, the one about the coin, because it brings to mind a key image we've laughed about Legos all the way through this series, that image of the one poor Lego that gets kicked under the sofa or wedged down between the seats of the sofa, separated forever from the bunch of the Legos. At least it's not as bad as a puzzle where you can never do that puzzle again. But that Lego that gets lost, something made to connect that is disconnected, that is separated. It's really the underlying lesson behind this entire series, isn't it? And certainly this lesson for today, separation is not good. We are not designed to be separated. We are designed to connect. Separation is painful. That's what we have in this parable of the coins, right? 10 coins, so much like the Lego. Sounds pretty impressive, 10 coins. The value of them is not insignificant. Says that those coins, those 10 that are mentioned, they call drachmas in some translations, and our thing just says silver coins. So, ooh, silver coin, that must be worth a ton, must be a fortune. But this is really not like the pearl of great value that Jesus talks about. One of these was worth about a day's worth of labor. Now, that's not insignificant. Most of us wouldn't want to see our paycheck for the day torn up, but if we said minimum wage, it's about $58. You know, so the point of this is not, oh my goodness, how valuable that coin was. That's not the point. The point is every coin is valuable to the one who's lost it. Every coin, every one of the things under the care of this person is important. The same is true of the other parable, right? The parable, the first one about the lost sheep. Here's the shepherd who is. This is a great one to illustrate with Legos, by the way. I couldn't resist. Since we're talking Legos, this is really a wonderful illustration of, see, there's our little shepherd. I had to make a little robe for him because he looked like a sports star. Couldn't have that for my shepherd. So there's our shepherd and the sheep, except that one of the sheep. Where'd that go? I'll put him up here where we can see. And we laugh, but that's sad. That's painful. That's separation. The sheep that was with the flock is now not with the flock. And, you know, we could think like we do with the coin, well, it's not that valuable. You know, you could imagine the shepherd feeling disappointed and sad, but saying, you know, oh, well, at least I have all these other sheep. At least I got most of my sheep, almost all of my sheep still. It's just one sheep. That's just not the way the shepherd thinks. Both the woman and the shepherd are not willing that even one coin, even one sheep, should stay lost, should stay disconnected. It's a simple message, a real simple message. I love this, how the Legos are simple, and so often we've come to very simple messages from these. These are parables about the heart of God, that not one of His children, we heard it in Ezekiel, I will seek out those sheep, I will bring them to good pasture land. I do want us to dig a little deeper in the parable too this morning though, and to do that we need to go back to the start of it and take a look at the context that Jesus is in when He tells these two little stories. So let's look back at the first three verses today. I've taken some words out to fit it on one screen. Now, tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. So He told them this parable. Intriguing pronoun there, them. He told them this parable. There are two groups of people here, and it does not specify which group of people Jesus was talking to now. They're both there, so I assume all are listening. These two groups of people that Jesus is addressing. There are tax collectors and sinners on the one hand who are interested, who are wanting to know what Jesus has to say. And there are Pharisees and scribes on the other. And I want to suggest to us this morning that Jesus has a message in this parable that's the same message to both those groups. And that message is, repent. It's probably the most common message we hear Jesus preach throughout the Gospels, repent. But it's such a misunderstood word. It comes from the Greek, think again. Pent, think, re, again. Think a new way. Change the way you're thinking to allow the Holy Spirit to change the way you're living. Repent. I think Jesus says that to both groups. Let's think about the Pharisees and the scribes first. These are the very religious people of Jesus' day who are very intent on not sinning, very intent on doing everything just right. And they seem to be constantly unhappy with this Jesus guy. These very religious people who are trying to do everything right seem to never be getting along very well with this fellow Jesus. And this time they're unhappy because Jesus is welcoming sinners and eating with them. Quotes from our scripture. They're just unhappy with Jesus because He welcomes sinners and eats with them. So Jesus tells these two stories to make it clear how God feels about those who are lost and how God wants us to feel about those who are lost. You see, Pharisees looked at sinners with judgment. They expected sinners to clean up their act and then come on over here to the good side. Jesus, on the other hand, welcomed sinners and hung out with them. Jesus didn't insist that they do something to their lives before they began to be part of that fellowship. Notice in the parables that Jesus sets it up, so we can't really blame the sheep or the coin, right? They're not. You can't blame. The sheep got lost, you know. The coin isn't capable of going somewhere or not. This is not a poem about blame game. He merely sets it up as these are lost. There's a lost coin. There's a lost sheep. I think too often in the church we forget those parables and choose to play the blame game. Forget that we've all been broken. That in fact we're all still broken. Forget those words of the Apostle Paul, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the very things I would do, I don't do, and the things that I should do, I can't manage to do somehow, the Apostle Paul writes. We know we're not saved by our goodness, but by God's grace through our faith. And yet we look at those separated from us as outsiders. We're in, they're out, we're up. The way that the Pharisees saw people that were hanging out with Jesus, them. Look how he's being nice to them. Then he knows he just needs to be with us. So we have a hard time, I think, sometimes in the church resisting the urge to be the moral police, to label people instead of loving them. So Jesus says to the in crowd, to the righteous, repent. Your righteousness is a good thing, provided it doesn't lead you into pride and judgment and the kind of behaviors that turn people away from the shepherd. Change your mind. Repent. Change your mind about who God is. What makes God truly happy, Jesus says, is when one of those who's separated gets back connected. That's the happiest thing that God can have. God thinks it's great we get here on Sunday morning, all us good believers. But the happiest thing for God is when someone who's not connected comes back and gets connected. And then there's that second group listening to Jesus. The tax collectors, the sinners, that other group. And to that other group, Jesus very subtly says, repent. You get the feeling at the end of this parable that he's really pointing it at the Pharisees for grumbling about being nice to these people. But there's a very lovely call to repent to these sinners and tax collectors who are overhearing what Jesus is saying to the others, who are interested enough to gather and draw near. And what Jesus says to them is, repent. Change your mind about who God is. Come to understand God as that good shepherd who cares for every single sheep in the flock, who seeks out the lost and desires that not a single sheep should perish alone and disconnected. Not a single sheep should perish alone and disconnected. That shepherd who goes to extraordinary lengths, who lays down his very life, even death on a cross, to call the sheep home. That shepherd who is strong enough to hoist us sheep on his shoulders when we're too weak to move. You know, there's any number of us here this morning feeling like that sheep, like that lost Lego, the missing coin. But it's not something you can learn by somebody pointing a finger at you. Unfortunately, the church has too often thought we can help people know that by pointing fingers at them. No, it's something you can only know by the Spirit of God speaking into your heart. By the Spirit of God inviting you to change your mind about who God is. Maybe you're doubting. Maybe you have doubts about the God thing. Doubt about whether that good shepherd image really isn't just too good to be true. Can God really care about us that much? Or you may be lost this morning in pain or grief or anger or addiction or fear. I was driving out here this morning. I have good old Sirius XM radio, and I'm a terrible channel surfer. So if I don't like what's happening on one, even if I do sort of like it, but I think I might like something better on another channel, you know, I change the channels. True confessions. And I forgot what I had on, but I pushed the button for On Broadway. Being the old theater guy that I am, and these were the first words that I heard. God's honest truth. I'm tired of living and scared of dying. I'm tired of living and scared of dying. If either one of those applies to you today, I offer you all I've got to offer. I offer you Jesus Christ, who has the strength and the peace and the joy to get you through either one of those situations. Let's pray. God, we have that thing we call the sinner's prayer that too often those of us in this room, it's something somebody else is supposed to say. Forgetting that we've all fallen short. But it's that prayer that says, I need you, God. I need you as Father. I need you as Good Shepherd. I need your Spirit that Jesus promised when he left us would be here to dwell inside us. In these next few moments, as my voice yields to silence, I invite everybody in this room to listen to that Spirit and to offer your prayer. It may be that whether this story is too good to be true. It may be you live in such a scientific world that you're just not sure you can buy this God thing. It may be that life has beat you up so much that you're just not sure God's there anymore. Let the Spirit speak to you this morning. Or maybe you're one that needs that prayer of changing your mind to be about how God feels about those who are not in the fold with us this morning. To repent of your pride. To repent of your judgment. To repent of any hypocrisy. Hear our sinners' prayers, God, as we offer them to you this morning. And all God's precious lost sheep said, Amen.